Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
This is my mom.
Am I going to get paid for this?
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, March 20th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the solemnity of St. Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm John Morales. Glenn is taking a few days off this week. Producer Gabby is in for Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning in the fourth week of Lent here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's great to be with you once again. I hope you had a great weekend and got to spend some quality time with your family and loved ones. I want to say a big thank you to my partner, Glenn Leverins, who did a fantastic job filling in for me last week while I took some time off with my family to watch my son Joseph's first high school baseball games with his Northridge Prep Varsity Knights down in beautiful, sunny, warm Naples, Florida. What a joy it was, 80-plus degree weather and sunshine to see baseball. Now, it was a big sports weekend for basketball fans. The Sweet 16 is all set in March Madness. Two number one seeds, Kansas and Purdue, are history. They went down. It's what you love about the NCAA tournament is these great upsets, and they happen every single year. Yesterday on Sunday, Michigan State advanced with an upset win over Marquette. The Spartans under Tom Izzo have done it time and time again. They always find a way to get into the Sweet 16. Marquette goes down, unfortunately, for that highly touted team that was upset by the Spartans. Among the other winners were Creighton, Florida Atlantic, Gonzaga, Kansas State, Xavier, Miami, and UConn, all advancing to the Sweet 16. So a lot of broken brackets this weekend in college basketball in March Madness. Meanwhile, I was keeping an eye on the World Baseball Classic down in Miami. What an atmosphere it was. So exciting. Last night, the U.S. Routed Cuba 14-2 to reach the World Baseball Classic championship game. The U.S. Will take on the winner of tonight's Japan-Mexico game in the title game, which will happen tomorrow night. Again, the atmosphere for this World Baseball Classic has been unbelievable. If you're a baseball fan, it's so exciting. It feels like a baseball version of soccer's World Cup. Just madness in that ballpark there in Miami. And we'll talk about this throughout the week and see what happens with the big game tonight between Mexico and Japan. First things first, we start every morning always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always keeping in mind that every single day is a blessing. And so we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And traditionally on Mondays, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and all of our loved ones who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, who we honor today, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to remind you that during these final weeks of Lent, try to get to confession if you can. It's a great way to have a clean heart and get ready for Holy Week, the 3 days that changed the course of history, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Peter 3:15. St. Peter the Apostle wrote, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence." As Catholic Christians, we need to always be prepared to give a reasonable explanation for what we believe and why we believe it. There will no doubt be situations where someone will ask you, "Why do you believe that Mary is the Mother of God, or that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ our Lord?" We need to be ready to answer with clarity and charity, with gentleness and respect from whoever challenges us about our Catholic faith. So know your faith, know what Scripture, tradition, and the Catechism teaches, but always do it with respect. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can always find us on Twitter, our handle at Morning Air Show, our email if you want to reach us directly with your thoughts or any story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, after the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph is the greatest of all the saints. He is the one into whose custody God entrusted his most precious treasures of Jesus and Mary. Now, normally we celebrate the solemnity of St. Joseph, husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, on March 19th. But this year it was transferred to today, to March 20th, because March 19th was the fourth Sunday of Lent. Now, though the Feast of St. Joseph is a solemnity, which is the highest rank of liturgical celebrations, it is not a holy day of obligation, but it is a beautiful practice to try to get the Mass today in honor of St. Joseph if you can. The Catholic Church recognizes the crucial role St. Joseph assumed in the lives of our Lord Jesus and our Blessed Mother Mary. On this feast day of St. Joseph, we honor his many virtues by addressing him with several illustrious titles. In fact, we have an entire litany of St. Joseph with over 20 distinct attributes dedicated to imploring St. Joseph's assistance. I recently spoke to Morning Air contributor Redemptorist Father Bob Pagliari from downtown Manhattan in New York City about St. Joseph the Teacher. Father Bob is the professor of theology and communications at St. John's University. He also writes a monthly online column called Holy Homework for thegoodnewsroom.org, which was formerly the Catholic New York, the newspaper of the Archdiocese of New York. Here's my conversation with Father Bob Pagliari. Good morning, Father Bob. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, John. Good morning, listeners. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor, really, to be here, especially here in the month of March, dedicated, as everyone knows, to St. Joseph. And this is a special place in my heart as a teacher, because he is a teacher, was a teacher of the child Jesus, taught him crafts, taught him how to do woodworking. In fact, you remember the people in town when they saw Jesus come back as an adult, they go, "Where did he get all this wisdom that he has as a rabbi? Isn't this the carpenter's son? shouldn't he be, you know, planing wood or something like that?" So this one of the titles that's not in the litany of St. Joseph is the tutor of God. And that's really what St. Joseph was. He was God's tutor. We don't think of him, we don't see or hear too much of him, of course, in the Bible, unfortunately. I think he was quiet, and that's a wonderful virtue, especially nowadays, to have. So if we tend to be overly exasperated and complaining, maybe that's one of the virtues we could pray for the intercession through St. Joseph to God, to bless us with, you know, a little more patience and maybe a little more quiet. And actually, now that I hear myself say that, I've talked to my students. I teach undergrads, as you know, at college. And I remember one of my students saying, I said, "Is there ever a time when you're not listening to music, okay, or something in with your earbuds or in?" And she said to me, "No," she said, "in fact, I go to sleep with my television on. I wake up, it's already on. I put my earbuds in as soon as I do and listen to music all the time." And she said, and I said, "Well, when do you have any quiet time? Like the virtue of St. Joseph, you know, quiet because we don't know too much about him in the Bible." And she said, "Oh, that would frighten me to death." And I was very taken aback by that, John. It's unfortunate, isn't it, that we don't spend more quiet time, especially in prayer, don't you think?
Well, without a doubt, it's really amazing that some folks are literally almost afraid of quiet, of no TV, no radio, no noise in the background.
Exactly. But to come out about it and say that, that would scare me. Well, what are you afraid of? What in silence frightens you most? Okay. So it's an interesting thing. I'm sorry to say that I think some of our younger generation are so overexposed to noise and to listening and to having some kind of stimulation in their ears that they don't have any time or make any time for quiet. And I think that they're robbing themselves or missing out on something wonderful, and that's something that could draw them much, much closer to God and to the saints, particularly since you mentioned her. Talk about another teacher, Catherine Drexel, whose feast day we celebrate today. It's unfortunate, if I may say this, that she died in March. It's too bad, I think, that she didn't die in the in February, the month of Black History Month, because she is the one, as you know, who founded Xavier University in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, I'm sorry, in New Orleans, XULA, the Xavier University in Louisiana. And they can now boast that their university was founded by a saint.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we honor her today. And she obviously had a big heart for not only African-Americans, but also the Native Americans. But back to St. Joseph. I loved your article on St. Joseph, the teacher. In fact, I named my son Joseph after the great St. Joseph. And, there's not much about him in scripture per se. There's not a single word. As you said, he's silent in the Bible. But, a picture can speak 1,000 words. We see statues. We see holy cards of St. Joseph holding the baby Jesus all the time. Can you imagine how much he taught and influenced the baby Jesus, the young Jesus, when he was a boy? Basically, that was his role model.
Absolutely. And I have in my article, I mentioned a talk that I was listening to by Phyllis Icano, and she had such a wonderful image when she said, sometimes when we as adults, we hear ourselves talking and we hear ourselves repeating actually words that our parents may have spoken to us. And she had this wonderful image. She said, I think that when Jesus was in the carpenter shop with Joseph, Joseph may have said to him at one point, okay, well, let's start by making a yoke. That's easy. And it makes the burden light. And then I thought, this is exactly what Jesus said many, many years later. Take my yoke upon your shoulder. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He may have heard that from his teacher, foster father, St. Joseph, in the carpenter shop. I think it's a wonderful image, and that's actually some of the holy homework that I would like to pass on to people today, our listeners. Find a picture of St. Joseph with the baby, teenager Jesus, and in the carpenter shop, and put that up on the fridge every time you walk by. Say a prayer of thanksgiving to our fathers, to our mothers, our first teachers, which is what they were, and also to our other teachers in life who have taught us our faith and passed on the faith to us with such a, not just our education, of course, we have to be grateful for that, but also our religious faith and our religious education as well.
Now, Father Bob, you mentioned all the different titles of St. Joseph in the litany, and they're all very beautiful. There's one that, is easy to not notice, and that is example to parents. That actually is in the litany. Can you talk about St. Joseph, the teacher, as a great reminder for us parents of the great responsibility that we have to teach our children about the Catholic faith?
Absolutely. It's foremost. And I think that one of the questions that we're going to be asked as parents, those of us who are parents and have children, when we get to the pearly gates, if God is going to say, how did you educate your children about me? I think God is going to ask that question, because that is part of our responsibility, isn't it? As parents, to teach, you know, of course, we have to protect our kids. We have to educate them. We have to teach them manners. We have to teach them a lot of things. But we also have to teach them the faith. And I think that's so very, very important. It's certainly a title, an attribute of St. Joseph. Again, we can pray as parents for the intercession of St. Joseph to help us be better teachers as parents and better teachers in our faith, which means we have to practice our faith too. Okay, we can't just say, okay, such a time you go off to church, I'm going to sit here in the car, or I'm going to wait here at home. No. We have to teach also by example. And I think that's also very important. That's certainly what St. Joseph did. And that's what Jesus grew up around. I mean, you just talked about this man who murdered his wife and his son. You know, C.S. Lewis once said, charity begins at home. And unfortunately, so does uncharity. And that was a very good example. That's what I was thinking about as you were reporting the news. You know, we have to counterbalance that. We do, as parents, to teach our children the faith and to pass that on to them because they see us practicing it. I think that's very, very important. I'm so glad that you named your son Joseph.
He's Joseph Dominic, after St. Joseph and the great St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans. My wife was a Third Order Dominican at the time, and so you put the two together. That's it's a pretty good combo.
Absolutely. God bless you, and God bless them.
Thank you, Father
God
Bob.
Bless us all. You're welcome.
Real quick, again, your holy homework again for this month of March.
Yes. Go on the internet, try and find a picture of St. Joseph in the carpenter shop with a teenage kind of Jesus teaching him carpentry, and put that image, print it out, put it on the fridge. And then every time you go by that image, okay, every time you go by the image of Jesus, of Joseph teaching Jesus in the carpentry shop, say a special prayer in remembrance for our fathers and mothers who have taught us, our first parents who are our first teachers, and all of our subsequent educators, and a little prayer for them too, who positively impacted our wisdom and our faith. St. Joseph, humble tutor, pray for us.
Amen. And that was Father Bob Pagliari, columnist for thegoodnewsroom.org, formerly the Catholic New York, as well as a regular contributor to Morning Air. We will have much more on this solemnity of St. Joseph a little bit later on in the show. In the second hour at about 7:30 Central, Father Matthew Spencer will join us from California to talk further about St. Joseph's workshop. So much more on St. Joseph a little bit later in the show. We need to take a short break. When we come back, author Kevin O'Neill, the creator and photographer of the series of Catholic Lego books, will discuss St. Joseph and the unshakable Christian faith of the creator of Lego. Stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in. It's great to be with you once again on this Monday morning, the solemnity of St. Joseph. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, did you know that the invention of the super popular Lego bricks included a true testimony of faith? Well, we're going to talk about it. What does old Kirk Christensen, the creator of Lego, have in common with our super big saint that we're celebrating today? Of course, we're talking about St. Joseph. Joining us live this morning is author Kevin O'Neill, the creator and photographer of the Catholic Lego books, to share with us that connection between St. Joseph and the creator of Lego. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Great to be with you here on this Feast of St. Joseph.
Likewise. Happy Feast Day. And I'm speaking to you from Springfield, Illinois. We're down here ready for the March for Life. I've got a group of the Crusaders from Life down here. And so what a great way to pair the week.
Well, that is outstanding. I know that the March for Life has been moved this year from traditionally in January to this day. So what kind of a crowd is expected for this March in Springfield?
You know, I have no idea, actually. I'm along for the ride as a chaperone here with a great group. And so I'm just going to sit here and live on as little sleep as possible and enjoy.
Well, it's a day to celebrate. Today is a feast day, of course, of St. Joseph. And we wanted to talk about this connection between St. Joseph and old Kirk Christensen, the creator of Lego, who was also a young carpenter and had his own workshop. Could you fill us in on this things that St. Joseph and old Kirk Christensen have in common?
Yeah, you know, there can really be no surprise. I think one of the beautiful things when faith is expressed is we participate in creation. And one thing we always do as well is we take a look at work in a different light, because certainly work is a punishment of sin, but work can be embracing, and when you can double it with being creative, it becomes all the more powerful. And so to see a carpenter like Joseph, who, you know, I mean, biblically, with our entire series, we love to go through typology. And so biblically, when we look at Joseph, and we even see Joseph in the early Testament, and we see what he's doing, I mean, both are son of Jacob. You have Joseph, who has the dreams, and he's delivered. He escapes death and is brought into Egypt. And then you have Saint Joseph, who does the same thing. And what did they need during this famine? If you need the bread, go see Joseph. And with Saint Joseph the carpenter, we see that as well. I mean, he brings us and fosters the bread of life so that we can go ahead and receive that. And a feast is brought forth really in the midst of a famine. And so it's such a beautiful thing. And then, you know, as a carpenter, what does he do? He teaches Christ how to create beauty out of these wood products. And ultimately, what does Christ do? He makes his ultimate sacrament and turns the crucifix itself into a sign of beauty, passion, and love for us to participate in. And so certainly it's no, you know, it's no surprise to know that the creator of Lego, through his creative interpretation, makes this toy that brings so much joy to children. And now we use it to teach the beauty of the Catholic faith, and what a blessing it is.
The creator of Lego, old Kirk Christensen, also had a tremendous amount of determination, and he had to do a lot of hard work to overcome a lot of difficult times, both personally and professionally. Can you tell us about some of the trials that this young carpenter had to go? Again, very similar to St. Joseph.
You know, as far as certain trials in our lives, I'm not sure about what Kirk Christensen completely went through. But I do know that, you know, in our own life, when we sit here and we look at even St. Joseph today and the things that he created, you know, when we look at images such as Our Lady of Częstochowa, which is an image that St. Luke painted on the table that the Lord himself made through his own tutelage of St. Joseph, throughout the years, that's something that we as Catholics kind of, we forget how deep we are staring into this icon and then a table made by our Lord himself throughout his gift of carpentry, which was passed on to him through St. Joseph.
Well, Kevin, the creator of Lego had to deal with the Great Depression back in 1929. Are you familiar with what some of the things that he went through with respect to that Great Depression?
No, but you know something. And when you hear that again, like I had mentioned, the fact that a feast is brought forth in the midst of a famine, and you look at Joseph in the Old Testament. And then you look at Saint Joseph being the one who brings us the bread. It's really no surprise.
Do you have any idea how Ole came up with the idea for Lego to begin with?
No.
Yeah, because it's rather interesting the fact that he was inspired to create these little tiny little bricks that who would ever even begin to imagine would touch so many hearts and inspire so many little kids to build things. And to this day, you know, just about everybody, from young kids to even grownups who still hold on to their Legos from their childhood are familiar with those little bricks.
Yeah, and to turn it into the greatest, the most popular toy in the world. And I know when I was a child, Lego was very much just a brick. And now today it's a funnel. It's kind of this universal toy in many ways, where if you like Indiana Jones, it's a Lego. If you like Star Wars, it's a Lego. And they've created this incredible product that allows children to tap into the creative, their own creativity, and really build beautiful scenes and participate in the gifts that God has given them.
Another thing that we can draw from St. Joseph, obviously, that also applies to this creator of Lego is that, you know, we can make our work be sanctifying. We can sanctify our work. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're creating Legos or doing anything else. If you do it for the Lord, you're sanctifying. You're on the right track.
Yeah, the fact that work is part of the punishment of sin, and when we can embrace it and then tap into the creativity, it really is a double whammy. And that's what we do in our series to teach typology to children. And it's really now we've sold over 50,000 copies of each book, and we have three guides as well. We have a guide of sacramental confession, a guide on the rosary, as well as a new guide on the stations of the cross following St. Alphonsus Liguori and his method. And all of these can be found even at uponthisblock.com, where we do have a promo code. If they enter relevant, they will get $5 off and free shipping.
Again, uponthisrock.com. Tell us about...
Uponthisblock.com, a nice little play on words there.
I
the Catholic
it.
And you went straight to rock.
Yes, I did. Yes, a Freudian slip there. Kevin, tell us about your two great books on the Mass and the sacraments.
Yeah, our first book is called The Catechism of the Seven Sacraments, and both books have an imprimatur, as well as the Father John Harden glossary definitions in the back. And really what we do is we take all of the dots that have always been there and just put them right next to each other. So the Old Testament, and we show how it's fulfilled in the New. And our newest book on the Mass, the Holy Mass on earth as it is in heaven, really takes these biblical parallels and puts them right next to each other. I mean, for example, a lot of people don't realize, but the Our Father, you know, both Matthew and Luke's account of the Our Father was understood based upon their liturgical understanding. And so when you look at the Our Father, which is the perfect prayer, and the Mass, which is the perfect sacrifice, the Our Father begins by invoking God's name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Mass begins by invoking the revealed God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After we invoke God's name in the Our Father, the next verse, heaven and earth come together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Mass, heaven and earth then come together. After heaven and earth come together in the Our Father, the next verse is, give us this day our super substantial bread, as St. Jerome translated it. It's not a pizza. It's not a hot dog. This is the bread of life, the Eucharist. And in the Mass, after heaven and earth come together, we are given that super substantial bread. And then after the super substantial bread is given in the Our Father, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And in the Mass, after receiving the Eucharist, what did Christ say? This is for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And in the Our Father, then, it sends us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Mass literally means to send, to go. And so we just take all of these parallels and show them and teach them to families. And just because something is profound doesn't mean it's complicated. And that's what we do all throughout our series.
Well, Kevin, it's truly remarkable that a kid's idea, these little Lego blocks, could be used to share our faith, to share the beauty of Holy Mass.
It really is. And to give anybody an idea, if anybody has ever seen St. John Cantus in Chicago, we built a replica of that and used that in our book. And so the creative ends of these toys, I have not found them yet. It's such a wonderful thing.
Well, I've been to St. John Cantus. It's an absolutely gorgeous church. And for you to be able to replicate it with Lego blocks is pretty amazing. Kevin, I really appreciate you being with us real quick again, where our listeners can go to order your books.
They can go to Sophia Institute Press. Always support your local Catholic bookstore. But again, if they enter promo code RELEVANT at uponthisblock.com, we're offering $5 off and free shipping.
Again, thanks so much, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
John, thank you. And say prayers for us down here in Springfield.
Many blessings to you. Kevin O'Neill, author, the creator and photographer of the Catholic Lego books, his latest book, The Holy Mass on Earth as It Is in Heaven. Coming up after a short break, Catholic sculptor Tim Schmaltz will be with us to talk about being a craftsman working for our Lord. So don't change that dial. There's much more to come on this Monday edition of Morning Air here on the Feast of St. Joseph on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life through a Catholic lens, this is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Get connected to the conversation. 888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in and being with us on this Monday, the Solemnity of Saint Joseph. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Saint Joseph means so much to this reporter that I actually named my son Joseph, Joseph Dominic, after the great Saint Joseph. I'm so glad you could be with us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app this morning. If you want to be part of the show, our number is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we celebrate this feast of St. Joseph today, we can think of how with his profession, being a carpenter, according to tradition, he used his talents to provide and to take care of our Blessed Mother Mary and the young Jesus. We can think of how with his attention to detail and dedication, St. Joseph served the Lord. Well, joining us live this morning is Catholic Canadian sculptor Timothy Schmaltz to discuss being a craftsman just like St. Joseph and the many virtues that can be learned in sculpting. For over 25 years, Tim has been sculpting large-scale sculptures. He's a figurative artist with his pieces installed worldwide. Some of his most reputed pieces are installed in the historical churches in Rome and at the Vatican in St. Peter's Square. Good morning, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Oh, good morning. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. I just got back from the cathedral in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral, where on St. Patrick's Day, I installed one of my latest sculptures in the cathedral, and it was blessed on St. Patrick's Day. What an experience that was.
How exciting was that? First of all, happy St. Joseph's, Feast of St. Joseph today. But last Friday, we, of course, celebrated St. Patrick. Tell us a little bit about that experience at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Yeah, it was a lifetime experience to be in New York City on St. Patrick's Day in St. Patrick's Cathedral was just amazing. It assured me that the real spiritual center of New York City has to be St. Patrick's Cathedral. And the sculpture, the new installation, I hope everyone, when they go to New York City, can take some time out and visit the cathedral and take a look at it. It's a sculpture of St. Paquita opening up the ground and letting modern-day slaves, human trafficked people, free. It is a stunning piece. It's actually the model, the 6-foot model, for the 20-foot version of the sculpture that's going to be installed at Catholic University in Washington this coming year. So to be there on St. Patrick's Day, knowing he was human trafficked himself, he was a slave, to have this highlight of a new saint represented in that cathedral was just phenomenal.
How did you get the inspiration to create this new statue that you just installed on St. Patrick's Day there at St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Well, the interesting thing is I didn't know who St. Paquita was, and I didn't know anything about human trafficking. But I had a meeting at the Vatican after my huge Angel Unawares sculpture was installed in St. Peter's Square. They asked me to start creating sculptures on the theme of human trafficking and St. Paquita. And it opened up an amazing new sculpture project for me. And it was phenomenal. And it was a lot of work. The 20-foot version, which is going to her hometown near Venice, Italy, as well as another cast of it is going to Washington, D.C., took me more than 1 year of really hard work. And it was interesting because you were talking about St. Joseph and the worker. And I was just thinking about how sculpture is a lot of labor. It's hard work. And what I do in my studio always, and I'm here, well, when I'm not traveling, which is rare, I'm here in my studio working probably around 12 to 13 hours a day. And what I find that's, and I'm working on great subjects, right? But still, what I try to do is I try to embed prayer within my work. And that is what sustains me for those long periods of time. So I'll be sculpting 12 hours a day, and I will put on the Bible. I'll put on tapes of the Bible, and I'll put them on repeat. And every day as I come in my studio, I'll put a new disc in my stereo, and I'll listen to a new section of the Bible. And what I find about that is it just beautifies, it just enriches my experience about work. And I'm like, when I started doing this around 4 years ago, listening to the Bible as I sculpt, and I'm like, why doesn't everyone do this, right? Because it's such an amazing experience, and it really enhances what I'm doing, and it kind of keeps my focus on the Gospels. And I think about all those workers out there that aren't using their hands as manually as I am, but they're still going to work. And I oftentimes think, man, if you're driving like for an hour to get to work or even a half an hour, start your day off and end your day off with some great audio. And there's so much out there right now. I feel privileged because workers in the past 20 years ago or so, or even 10 years ago, they wouldn't have that access like we do now, right? So what I do is I try to embed prayer within my work, and I try to create an environment that will make me more aware of the spirituality of every minute, every hour that passes, right?
Tim, you have accomplished so much over the 25-plus years that you've been sculpting. Can you take us back to the beginning? When did you first realize that you had a special talent for sculpting?
Well, I loved sculpting ever since I was 16, I just fell in love with art in general, but specifically sculpture. And so it was interesting because I went to one of the top art schools in Canada, and then I had a crisis because what they were teaching at the schools was something really different than what I wanted to spend my life doing. And I had a conversion experience when I was 17, but I had an artistic conversion when I was around 20, 21. And at that time, I was at a crisis. I thought that the art that that was in the mainstream, that was taught at the schools, that I saw at the art galleries, was art for art's sake. And I didn't want to spend my life doing something that was just for itself, so to speak. And when it's art for art's sake, that's what it is. It's talking about color, design. If it is making a comment, it's making a negative comment. So I had an artistic crisis that came through. I came through with it, and I basically call it a spiritual conversion in my artwork. I looked at the great masters, and I understood that the reason why they created great work was not because their brush strokes, not because of the chiseled texture in the sculptures. It was because of what they were sculpting, what they were painting. In order to have a great piece of artwork, you need a great subject. And that's what I learned from the great masters. And so since I was 21, 22, I followed that. I had some great spiritual directors that appreciated Catholic artwork and kind of helped me as I was going on. And so it was phenomenal. And still what I'm working on right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the massive Stations of the Cross project I'm doing for the Basilica in Orlando. Mary, Queen of the Universe. These are huge stations, like they're 12 feet tall, 10 feet wide. We're creating a gospel gardens right there, right beside Walt Disney, literally. And it's just going to be a blast. And I'm looking at this work right now and I'm thinking, I'm 52 years old. I started Christian sculpture when I was 22. And I feel like I just started. And I think that when you grasp and when you have a subject matter that is so eternal, the amount of expression, the amount of creation that can come from that eternal well is just endless. And so it's wonderful. But even when I'm doing Stations of the Cross 12 hours a day, a person gets tired. And so I have to prop myself up. I'm very conscious of that in my work. I have to prop myself up. Oftentimes I take every 30 minutes a moment for prayer. And you might think, well, doing the Stations of the Cross, that's prayer too. But your body, your mind gets dim. So I pull off, I say a prayer, I get back to it. I always have the Bible kind of creating this beautiful audio landscape within my studio. And it's really enriching, but I think that knowing our human weaknesses, you have to be conscious of that and do what you can consciously to create that environment. And I think that everyone can wherever they're working, especially now with so many possibilities, right?
Well, Tim, I can just picture you in your studio working away in many ways like St. Joseph did in his workshop. Do you ever feel that inspiration from the great St. Joseph that we're honoring today while you're working on your many pieces?
Yeah, I feel that with a lot of the pieces I'm doing, I feel inspiration from many different saints. I think that specifically, though, with physical work like sculpture, it is, there is some a wonderful reward you get from putting your hands into things, right? And moving things with your hands. Oftentimes, I think that man was kind of engineered to be tactile. And they were engineered to do things physically, and so I'm in a sense I'm blessed that just like very similar to woodworking, sculpture is something that you're taking physical things and creating with them. So I feel very close to the spirit of Saint Joseph when I'm working here in my studio. My favorite saint is Saint Padre Pio, so that's essentially my go-to prayer during the day. Or the saint that I pray to during the day as I'm sculpting. Yeah.
You mentioned the Stations of the Cross down in Orlando at that beautiful Mary Queen of the Universe church, which I've actually had the blessing of being able to visit during some of our travels to Disney over the years. It's absolutely magnificent. I understand you also have another project in mind with regard to the defense of human life.
My pro-life project, oh my goodness, that is just something that moves me so much. So I created the huge sculpture on migrants for St. Peter's Square. And then I created the sculpture on human trafficking, which now just actually this past weekend has been installed in St. Patrick's Cathedral. The third in the triangle of concern for me is the pro-life issue. So I created a sculpture that really celebrates in a positive way the idea of the sacredness of life. And so I have a Madonna and child, but the child is still in the womb. And so it's a fetus worked within this majestic womb space. It is gorgeous. The sculpture is going to be installed at the Theological College in Washington, D.C. this year. They're creating a beautiful plaza for it. It's going to be facing the National Shrine. I'm so excited.
That is absolutely fantastic. You know, what does it feel like to have so many? You have so many incredible pieces that you've created over the years in the same places where the greats, the masters, as you call them, Bernini and Michelangelo, also have some of their treasures.
It's a big responsibility. And that's how I look at it. I feel right now, as a sculptor, there's a lot to do. There's so many saints. There's so many wonderful ideas that our eternal faith brings to us, and I want to bring them to light through artwork. And that will take me into my 90s, God willing.
Well, Tim, you're doing fantastic work for the Lord and honoring St. Joseph and many great saints in the process. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
God bless you. Canadian Catholic sculptor Tim Schmaltz. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called It's All in the Mix. A daughter is telling her mother how everything's going wrong. She's failing algebra, her boyfriend broke up with her, and her best friend is moving away. Meanwhile, her mom is baking a cake. She asks her daughter if she'd like a snack, and the daughter says, "Absolutely, Mom, I love your cake." The mother offers, "Here, have some cooking oil." "Yuck," says the daughter. "How about a couple raw eggs?" "Gross, Mom." "Would you like some flour then, or maybe some baking soda?" "Mom, those are all yucky." To which the mother replies, "Yes, all those things seem bad all by themselves, but when they are put together in the right way, they make a wonderfully delicious cake." God works in the same way. Many times we wonder why he'd let us go through such a bad and difficult time, but God knows that when he puts all these things in his order, they always work for good. We just have to trust him, and eventually they'll make something wonderful. From Romans 8:28, we're encouraged. We know that all things work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
As always, our thanks to Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, we'll be joined by Billy Oliveri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. He'll be with us to talk about some of the highlights of the Silicon Valley Bank and the Silvergate Bank issues and what it means for the average person. Plus, Father Matthew Spencer, the Provincial of the Oblates of St. Joseph, will take us into St. Joseph's workshop on this feast in which we are honoring St. Joseph. So stay with us. There's much more to come on this Monday in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.